climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, for he was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Just outside Telford is the ruins of White Lady's Priory. And in 1651, it was very active with a lot of the nuns wearing white because they were known as the White Ladies. But unfortunately, King Charles II, not the third, he'd been defeated by Oliver Cromwell's army. And so he was running away and in hiding. But they said to him, "It's not a safe place to hide in this priory. What you need to do is you need to go and hide yourself in Boscoville House, because they've got a priest's hole there and you can hide in there." So he did that. But it wasn't really very safe, because Oliver Cromwell's men were looking for King Charles II in order to put him to death. So a man by the name of William Careless suggested to the king that the best thing to do to avoid Oliver Cromwell's soldiers was to climb in the woods outside an oak tree. So he blackened his face, pretended to be a woodman, and he climbed this oak tree along with William Careless. And so when Oliver Cromwell's soldiers came looking for him, they looked everywhere in the forest, but could they find him? No, because he was hiding in a tree. Eventually, when Oliver Cromwell's soldiers went back home, he came out of the tree, and Lady Jane Lane, I think she was Jane Lane of Bentley, she took him into her house, and eventually he was able to escape overseas for the time being. You see, even kings have been known to climb trees. There are 467 pubs in Great Britain called the Royal Oak, named after this incident in 1651. So there's nothing new about people climbing trees. And this morning's story is all about a man called Zacchaeus who climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. But the question I want to ask you this morning is this: what gets in the way of following Jesus? Some things do get in the way. Over the years, I've seen people find it very difficult to follow Jesus because in their family is opposed. You might get religious mania. Sometimes I remember a young man went to hear Billy Graham, and Billy Graham asked people who wanted to commit their lives to Christ to get up out of their seat and to walk down to the front and to commit their lives to Christ. But this young man would not go forward because he was with all his friends. And he didn't want to lose his friends. So peer pressure is another reason why some people find it difficult to follow Jesus. And sometimes following Jesus means that people haven't counted the cost. Two men I know, or read about, sorry, they sailed from this country to go to work with the cannibals in Fiji. And one of them wrote to his friend that sometimes he had to close his shutters in the most soaring heat because of the stench of human bodies cooking in the village cauldron. Both of these men became missionaries, they said, to escape the curse of a useless life. In Zacchaeus' case, he had a number of reasons why it would be difficult to follow Jesus. First of all, there was his job. He was a tax collector. And you know, as well as I do, tax collectors of any generation are not popular. But worse than that, in Jesus' time, tax collectors worked for the Romans. And they had the job of collecting taxes on people passing through. Now, he lived in Jericho, and Jericho was on the main route between Damascus and Arabia. So there were perfumes being travelled, figs, dates, palms, and it was an ever-increasing trade route. And you had to pay taxes as you passed through Jericho. You had to pay taxes for using the Roman roads. You had to pay import taxes, export taxes, and you even had to pay a tax on your cart wheels. But don't worry, because if you were struggling to pay these taxes, well, the tax collector would lend you the money at an exorbitant rate of interest. And he charged people, sometimes they were known for charging people more tax than they should. So his job was very much against him, a tax collector who actually received no salary, just worked on commission. But he collected as much money as you could if you were a tax collector. And then you had a handsome rake-off. So there was his job, which was very much against him following Jesus. And then secondly, there was his reputation. Tax collectors were notorious extortioners. They were sinners, really. And Zacchaeus had a position of status and a comfortable style, but he was successful, as all tax collectors often are, but he was unpopular. Nobody liked him. He was barred from the synagogue. He was regarded as an unclean man. He was actually regarded by most of the Jews as a traitor because he worked for the Romans. So his reputation was very much against him following Jesus. Then thirdly, he was also wealthy. He had everything in life that you could want. It's usually the case, you know, with people with a single eye to monetary gain. They rarely look elsewhere for help. They don't need it. They're self-sufficient. The trouble was, Zacchaeus loved money more than he loved God, and he knew it. But his wealth made him a very isolated and lonely person. Yes, he was a self-made man, and he was successful. But inside, he was empty. Inside, he was desperate. He was a lost soul, and he knew it. Now, it was well known in Jesus' day that Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In fact, one of his disciples was Matthew, and he was a tax collector. And when he became a Christian, he invited all his friends, his tax collector friends, to meet Jesus. And they had a big dinner party together. Whether Zacchaeus was present, I don't know. But he probably heard about it on the tax collector's grapevine that Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners.
So he wanted to meet him, but he'd got all of these things. His job, his reputation, his wealth were against him. And he had one other thing that was against him. He was only a little man. He was very short. And anybody who's 4'11" knows you get pushed to the back. So Jesus, he'd heard, was passing through Jericho. But Jesus was also surrounded by his disciples and a great crowd. He was very popular. So how could this man had so much against him? He wanted to meet Jesus and he couldn't. So he decided that maybe the best thing to do was to go ahead of the procession and climb a tree, and maybe he'll just get a glimpse and perhaps just hear a little bit of what Jesus had to say to the crowd. But he didn't really want to draw attention to himself, because he'd look a bit of a fool, a man of his position, up a tree, just like King Charles II, up a tree just outside Telford in the forest. You know, sometimes in life, when we want to follow Jesus, we have to look stupid. There'll be people who'll say, "What do you want to do that for? You don't need to become a Christian. You don't need to be a follower of Jesus. You can do that without going to church. You don't need to go forward at an evangelistic meeting. You can do it on your own, by your bed, at night. Just say a prayer." There was a man who came to the church when I was the vicar in Manchester. And he had earrings and tattoos all over him. And he went along to an Alpha course that we were running. And then eventually he said to me, "I think I'd like to be confirmed." Now, you shouldn't judge people, but I'm afraid I did. And I had question marks. I thought, "Oh, I don't know whether he's genuine or not." So I said, Are you sure about this?" He said, "Yes, I'm quite sure. I want to be confirmed." "Do you know what's involved?" "Yeah, I'm going to make a commitment to Christ." I said, "Well, I thought you were doing that with the Alpha course." He said, "Yes, but I want to do it differently. My commitment to Christ will begin when I'm confirmed." Well, I thought, well, the best thing to do then is for when the bishop comes, for you to be confirmed. And that's what he was. But I was very unsure that he'd actually made a commitment to Christ and really wanted to be a follower of Jesus. But I have to say, despite all the misgivings in some of the members of his family, he made his commitment to Christ and was confirmed. Jesus stopped the procession. He looked up into the tree and he said, embarrassingly for Zacchaeus, "Come down, because I want to come into your house and have tea with you." Now, poor old Zacchaeus, his anonymity was shattered. I bet he was really red-faced, up a tree, coming down to meet Jesus. But that's what he wanted to do. He wanted actually to be a follower of Jesus, but he didn't know how to do it. And when he gets down in front of Jesus, in his presence, he says to Jesus, when he hears the mutterings of the crowd, "Oh, he's a sinner, you know, he's been ripping people off, you know. He's not a very nice man." And he overhears what they're saying about him. And he says to the crowd in front of Jesus, he says, "Look, if I've defrauded anyone, I will pay them back four times what I took." And if there's any debts outstanding, I will make sure that they are paid. That was the beginning of his Christian life, the beginning of his following of Jesus. You know, when Jesus wants to go into somebody's house, it's the same when Jesus wants to come into your heart. Now, in a moment, we're going to take communion together. Bread and wine, symbols of Jesus' presence. And Jesus says to you and me, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." And sometimes you see in churches, certainly in Holy Trinity Mere where I worship, there's a picture in the east window of Jesus knocking on the door. It's a picture by Holman Hunt. Oh, have you got it here as well? Oh, is it? Oh, yes, there it is, on there. Yes, that's the picture. That's what they've got in the east window at Holy Trinity Mere. But that, you know, somebody said to Holman Hunt, you know, you've made a mistake with your picture. And he said, "In what way?" He said, "Well, you've put no handle on the door." And he said, "Ah," he said, "that's because the handle is on the other side." You see, there has to be a moment in your life and mine when we open the door and allow Jesus to come in and take control of our life. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And that's what we're going to do symbolically when we take bread and wine together. Zacchaeus reacted, and in a way, you can see he'd become a Christian because of the way he behaved. If he cheated anybody, he wanted to pay them back. And he wanted to welcome Jesus into his house, into his home, as we would welcome Jesus into our hearts. And that begins the pebble in the pond and the ripples that go outside to our community, to our families, and to the world. And so Zacchaeus became a follower of Jesus. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, male or female, working class or aristocrat, the gift of salvation is a free gift to all of us. And Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And Zacchaeus was a lost soul, a lost sheep, if you like, saved by the Good Shepherd. And that, for all of us, starts in the heart when we take Jesus into our lives and our sins are forgiven and we become changed and we become a friend of Jesus, as Zacchaeus did. And I've lost my voice, so I'm going to stop. If anyone here wants to know more about how to follow Jesus and how to become a Christian, have a word with me afterwards. We're going to stand now and